Chapter 12. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, verses 6 through 8. It's quiet on the culling fields. It's always quiet on the culling fields, sure. This little grove at the back of campus where a tiny stream cuts through the woods. But this is the quiet of the dead. The kind of quiet colored by the creaking of rope and the rush of water and wind. All the things that aren't. The quiet that makes the quiet so loud it hurts. Sunlight sinks its teeth into the back of my neck. Trees rustle their dying leaves. The dry grass hisses at my presence, and the stream runs red. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. A body hangs from the sturdiest tree, a branch laden with rotten fruit. One crow watches me, and another flutters its wings as it pulls on the eye dangling from the optic nerve. I'd know the body anywhere. A boy with two broken legs and a flood-swollen skull. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The death squads dragged him to the culling fields because he was a failure whose body was burned out by God's light. He couldn't survive taking upon the mantle of holy war, so the soldiers gave him mercy by putting him down. Theo stood beside me as we watched. We had to watch him die, Theo wiping the last bits of rot from his mouth, knowing that could have been him if God's plan had fallen just a little bit to the left. I am in New Nazareth again. No, that can't be right. This boy rotted months ago, and it's empty here, too empty. It's not real. It can't be. I was just at Reformation. The dust is still in the back of my throat. The howls of the Graces and soldiers still ring in my ears, and I swear those are dust motes swirling in the light, coming through the stained glass windows, but right now, somehow I'm in New Nazareth. A dead New Nazareth. Where it's just me, the body, and the birds. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy God Almighty. Something else is here too. A monster among the trees, obscured by branches and dead legs. Split wound mouth hanging open with teeth and tongue, its body wreathed in a halo of six broken wings, rotting, growling, fangs, feathers, flesh. I stumble back and my feet sink into the muck. A lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And I looked, and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. It is beautiful. It is terrifying. The wrath of God made flesh. The flood made perfect. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Hide from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide from the wrath of the Lamb. The six-winged monster sees me, and it rears back with a shriek, white eyes whirling. And I fall to my hands and knees in Reformation Faith Evangelical Church. I lurch forward, heave, and tear down my mask. I gag so hard my jaw pops. A trail of black spit falls to the carpet. A crash sends dust raining down and shakes the deadlights hanging from the ceiling. What the fuck? I want to scream it, but all I can do is choke. I want to scream until my skin burns off. What the fuck just happened? Was it a vision like the one given to John of Patmos, the prophet of Revelation? Or is the virus eating holes in my brain? I can still hear the red stream, the crows, the beast. Can still taste the soft, thick smell of wet leaves on my tongue. I dig my fingers into the carpet and feel old wool and the silt of the creek bed. The grace. Shit. The grace. I force myself up and find them surrounded by the bodies of angels, ramming themselves into the barred front doors. The wood buckles under their weight. They bellow, long and low and sad, and all the dead from Judgment Day scream in return, grabbing the ankle of a passing angel and dragging them, shrieking into the mass of so many corpses. I can't see any of the watch. I know that's the point, but I still feel sick. I just want to know they're okay. But behind me, suddenly, somehow, a voice I thought I'd never hear again. Benji? It's small. Smaller than it has any right to be after what he did to me. It takes the wind out of my lungs. Is that you? The angel behind me is so close we could touch. He's pulling down his mask to show his face, but he doesn't need to. I'd know him anywhere. I'd know every part of him. That mess of curly blonde hair, the baby blue eyes, the stubble dotting the soft skin of his cheek. A desperate laugh bubbles up from his lips, and he falls back, mouth open in awe. My heart stopped beating a few seconds ago. It hasn't started back up again. Theo says, "You cut your hair." Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands. The last time we spoke, I thought he was going to tear out my throat. He was so rabid that white flecks speckled the corners of his lips. I don't remember all of what he said or exactly how he said it because I couldn't hear anything but blood screaming in my ears and my prayers that he wouldn't hurt me more than he already had, that he would stop before he broke me. Lying, ungrateful bitch. I told him I was afraid of Seraph and he hurt me for it. And I'm still in love with him. I still love him. I still. I pulled the knife from my pocket and snap out the blade. It flashes in the light streaming through the stained glass windows and comes right to his throat. Theo throws up his hands. Benji, wait! I snarl. You have 5 seconds. 5? His voice wavers. Shit. 5, okay? Deep breath. I'm sorry. He's what? If you're going to hurt me, he says, I understand. I kind of deserve it. His words catch, and his throat bobs, and he just looks so pitiful on the other end of my knife. But I wanted to get that in first, just so you know. I'm sorry. My knife hand trembles. He's sorry. He's sorry. He's sorry. You kind of deserve it? Dad thought you gave me a concussion. I thought you broke my arm. I thought he was going to kill me. If not by breaking my head against the wall of my dorm, then by telling Mom what I had said. The church wouldn't have called me, but God, what would they have done instead? Okay, Theo amends. Every word comes out slowly, like he's picking them carefully, like I'm a wild animal he's trying to keep from snapping. Okay, yeah. I deserve it a lot. I shouldn't have laid a hand on you. It wasn't right. And when you left, I realized that. I was so scared, babe. I thought someone found out what you'd said. I thought you'd been taken away. He's deteriorating, picking up speed. This is a sign, isn't it? Finding you here? I've been praying for a second chance, and I have it now. So please, please, I'm so sorry. 5 seconds have been up for a long time. My stomach burns with Flood and Seraph, and so does my ring finger. It feels naked. The knife falls. I don't know what's going on below us, and I don't want to know. It's just noise and terror. My world has shrunk down to Theo on the ground in front of me, like it always does. I say, "What are you doing here?" "The pilgrimage was the only way to get into the city, to find you," Theo says. "To find me." "To find you." He moves closer, his eyes catching mine and refusing to let go. "I was wrong, and I know I don't deserve it, but I wanted to say I'm sorry for what I did. Because I love you." I love him too. God, I still do. I still do. I bare my teeth. "I'm not going back with you." "I know," Theo says. "I came here to follow you. I couldn't let the city take you alone. If it wants you, it has to take me too." The blade of the knife bites into the carpet at my side. "What if I don't believe you?" "Because I don't. Being an angel was Theo's calling. Being a soldier was everything he ever wanted. His father is the general of New Nazareth, and his mother was martyred on Judgment Day. He comes from a line of missionaries and holy warriors. He wanted to be just like them, even if he choked on it, even if it killed him. When he was forced out of the death squads, it broke him. All I could do was watch as his faith got infected and bring him food when he, praying in a fever as if that would sweat out the horrible mistake he'd made, wouldn't leave the damn chapel for days. What that mistake was, I never learned. Mom said it was not a wife's place to ask, and I should start practicing for that. And leaving everything to follow me into the city? You can refuse to believe me all you want, Theo says. But I'm here now, and that has to stand for something. I hate that it does. I lunge for him. He yelps and tries to scramble back, and I grab him by the front of his angel whites. His eyes widen in terror as he struggles for air. Good. Let him fight for it. Let him know what it feels like. Beneath us, the church falls to pieces. The front door shatters as the Grace rams through and stumbles into the sunlight. The gunfire is so loud my ears ring. Everything hurts and I am coming apart. I kiss him. Theo's mouth immediately opens for me. His hands find mine like he's going to drown if he doesn't hold on. It's just like it always was. He feels exactly the same, like nothing has changed at all. I pull back just enough that our lips brush when I speak. He holds on tighter. "I'm not contagious," I say. "Promise." "Shit," Theo whimpers. "Benji." "Do exactly what I say and I'll come back for you." I am so weak for him. I love him so, so much. I have some stuff to take care of. Afterward, after I put my mask back up and everything is quiet. Downstairs reminds me of Judgment Day, or what I imagined it was like beyond the New Nazareth walls. The carpet is tacky with blood and the air tastes of death. Bodies cuddle the pews. The non-believer lying at the base of the altar stares at the ceiling, mouth open, like God took out their tongue. The watch didn't kill every angel. It was impossible to block every exit without spreading ourselves too thin, leaving ourselves vulnerable. But still, there are a lot of bodies. The giant Grace, the nest of corpses, whines pathetically, a low moan that trembles the wood under my feet. "Does it have to do that?" Cormac says as he saws off the last strip of skin holding an ear to an angel's skull. Blood streaks up his wrists. Christ! I whisper, quietly enough that nobody else can hear, that it's okay, that they don't have to worry. Some of the mouths settle, but others continue to call mournfully, and there's not much I can do about that. Cormac grumbles and keeps moving. Nick counts the dead. Aisha runs outside to throw up. Salvador sits in a pew, knees tucked up to Zir's chest. Faith stands near the back wall with her hands clasped in front of her mouth. And I'm on the shallow stairs leading up to the altar by the non-believer's bare feet, between little snakes of meat trailing down to touch the pews and Reverend Brother Morrison's body. I stare at the balcony, trying to keep my heart from tearing out of my ribs. He left New Nazareth for me. He still loves me. Fuck, Salvador says. There are two children among the dead. One barely looks old enough to be without his parents. The other just about to age out of the choir. Cormac takes their ears too. I don't want to look at them, but I do, trying to place them, to put names to the bodies I know. Eventually, I stop seeing faces and start seeing a jumble of eyes, mouths, and noses that my brain won't let me put together into a person. Small mercies. Silently, I pray for the dead. I don't know if it works. I don't know if it means anything, but it stops the sick feeling in my chest, so it must count for something. Nick sits beside me on the steps. His right index finger and thumb tap together over and over and over, a heartbeat in anxious double time. His left hand offers the pistol. My face burns. Between the vision and Theo, I hadn't noticed I'd lost it. I found this under the balcony, Nick says. No accusation of carelessness, just a simple statement of fact. Sorry, I say. I must have dropped it. It won't happen again. I don't take the pistol. He doesn't move it away. I say, I don't want it. All right. He puts it in his jacket. How many angels? 14. 14. Double what we took to the Vanguard. There's no way they can screw us out of supplies this time. We gather ourselves the best we can. I shake Salvador out of Zir's silence while Nick coaxes Faith out of her catatonic state. We try to bring Aisha inside so we can talk about getting back to the Alk, but she bursts into tears as soon as she turns to face the pews, so we meet in the churchyard instead. The mass of the not-quite-dead cry as we leave, and I whisper over my shoulder, I'll be back. I promised Theo I would. Halfway to the Alk, Aisha staggers. They were kids, she whimpers. They were kids. It doesn't matter if they were kids, Cormac snaps. And Aisha punches him in the stomach. Nobody helps when he folds and throws up on the sidewalk.